Let us pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we do ask that you would take all that we have and all that we are, our feet, our hands, our voices, our hearts, our lives, and make them yours, that we might learn together how to serve you in the world. So this day, as the scriptures are read and your word is proclaimed, we pray that you would take each of us and conform us according to your will, that we might live in obedience and faith as together we follow Jesus. We pray in his holy name, who is our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The Old Testament lesson today comes from the book of 1 Kings. It's a story from the life of Elijah. It's chapter 17, verses 8 through 16, and it's on page 253 and here. And now let us hear the word of the Lord. Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah. Go at once to Zarephath in the region of Sidon and stay there. I have directed a widow there to supply you with food. So he went to Zarephath. When he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and he asked, "Would you bring me a little water in a jar so I may have a drink?" As she was going to get it, he called, "And bring me, please, a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she said, "I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son, that we might eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said, but first make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land." So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for Elijah and for the woman and her family, for the jar of flour was not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. And here ends the lesson. Prophet. The lesson from the gospel continues our study of Mark. So today we're in chapter 12, verses 38 through 44. It's on page 718 and here. And remember, Jesus has been making his way to Jerusalem, and he's now there, and he's been teaching in the temple. As he taught, Jesus said, "Watch out for the teachers of the law. They like to walk around in flowing robes and be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and have the most important seats in the synagogues and the places of honor at banquets. They devour widows' houses and for a show make lengthy prayers. These men will be punished most severely." Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put, and he watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts. But a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a few cents. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on." And finally, continuing our walk through Hebrews, our study of the great high priest Jesus. So today there's four verses from chapter 9. It's on page 850 and here. "For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made with human hands that was only a copy of the true one. He entered heaven itself now to appear for us in God's presence. Nor did he enter heaven to offer himself again and again, the way the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, Christ would have had to suffer many times since the creation of the world. But he has appeared once for all at the culmination of the ages to do away with sin by the sacrifice of himself. Just as people are destined to die once and after that to face judgment, so Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." And here ends the lesson from Hebrews. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So through this November, we're talking about the gifts of love, talking about the love that we have for each other, the love that we have for God, as expressed in our service for each other. Last week, we talked about the greatest commandment. And so can anybody remember? I forgot to tell you there'd be a quiz. So can anybody remember what's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, so last week we talked about that commandment as it's lived out in the lives of saints, both the great saints of the past that we all know their names and the great saints of our own past that we are the only ones who know their names, and the saints among us who are living out their faith every day. So today we talk about the greatest gift. It's appropriate for today on Veterans Day to talk about the greatest gift because today is Armistice Day. So on 11/11/1918, exactly 100 years ago at 11 in the morning, World War I ended. So just some quick statistics about World War I. There were 37.5 million casualties in that war. 7 million people were maimed. Over 2 million German citizens and soldiers were either killed or missing. 979,000, almost a million British soldiers, and 116,000 Americans. So just in that war, that was the cost of that war. And so November 11th became to be known as Armistice Day. If you take that word armistice apart in Latin, arma is obvious, it means arms. And sistere in Latin means to stand still. So Armistice Day came to mean stand still from your battles. In our country, it became known to be a day of thanksgiving and prayer and exercises in the community designed to promote peace. So Paul and I were at the Marine Corps ball last night, and there's a woman there who's a retired Marine. Her husband's a retired Marine colonel, and she kept telling us to come to the Veterans Day celebration at the cemetery today, and I said, that's a great idea, and she kept telling me it was at 10:30 in the morning. So finally I said, we'd really love to come, but I got another gig at that time, you know, right? I mean, so we have worship at 10. We'd love to come. So I think there's usually one down on the park strip in the afternoon. But throughout the last 50 years, because Veterans Day in our nation became, the law of the land in 1954, and to be known as a day to honor all veterans. I think in the UK, it's also a day to remember the beloved dead, right? It's called Remembrance Day. But in the U.S., we have Memorial Day, right, that we make that more specific. But still on Veterans Day, we talk about Thanksgiving and prayer and working for peace. Because those veterans who served learned their service goes along with sacrifice. So today we get to talk about two widows who made sacrifices for people. In Elijah's time, an elderly widow made sacrifices to help a holy man of God. In Jesus' time, there was a widow who just had her two coins and an hour's. And so I've invited today Chaplain Tim Baranowski. He's a Presbyterian. He's an active duty chaplain at Fort Rich. And he's about to move with his family, with his wife and daughter, to South Carolina, right? But he's been participating in our presbytery meetings for a couple years now. And so I wanted you all to hear the perspective of a man who's active duty in the Army and his perspective on service with sacrifice. So, Tim?
Still use them, so nobody else knows that either. And second, as I've wrestled with the text and what Piper asked me to kind of talk about with the theme, I picked out some emotional scabs and uncorked a little bit of darkness in my own life, so be warned. There may be some tears ahead, hopefully not, but we'll see where it goes. So all great and not-so-great army stories begin with, "So there I was." There is a not-so-appropriate response for church to that, so we're just going to go with, "So there you were." So I'm going to say, "So there I was," and if you will all respond, "So there you were." So there I was, sitting at the Anchorage airport on yet another Monday, waiting for yet another flight to go to Fairbanks to visit my 600 soldiers that are stationed up there, trying to blend in as much as possible. Now, an occupational hazard of being in uniform is our OCP uniform blends in with everything. If I went out into the woods, you would not find me. If I sit in the airport, you're going to find me. So there I was trying my best to hide in the airport when this older couple walked up to me, and I knew they were coming to me and there was nothing I could do to avoid it. And they start gushing over my service, thanking me for fighting for their freedoms, for fighting for their children's freedoms, for going out and killing the enemy, which I'm not certain that they understand what chaplains do. But they went on and on and on, and all I could do was simply nod my head and pray that they would be done soon. And when they walked away, I said, "Thank you," and sighed a great sigh of relief. Now, I realize that that probably sounds very ungrateful, but I've learned that my service, like so many other veterans, is tinged with sacrifice. And we'll get more into that in a few minutes, but I want to talk about the widow in Mark's gospel for a little bit. We encounter this widow today, and she gives what have come down in history to be called mites to the church. Those mites are very interesting because if you look up that size coin in that period of time, there were these small, tiny little copper coins, smaller than a penny, thinner than a penny, and literally if this poor woman had sneezed, they would have blown away. That's how small these coins were. But this represents everything that she has, and she gives them. And the gospel says she gave her whole life. Think about that for a second. Her whole life was in those two coins, and that's what she gave. It's clear. There's no room for wiggle room. We can't negotiate with that. She gave everything that she had. Go on. Not tithing it, not a percentage, everything. And that should give us a moment for pause for just a second. Because we tend to want to take this scripture and use it to talk about building campaigns and stewardship campaigns. All important, so please don't hear me say that they're not. But we really can, if we look at the text, reduce her offering to stewardship or to a building campaign. She gave everything she had to God, her whole life. The question is why? Was it out of an obligation? Was it out of respect, demand, expectation, religiosity? Great word. Piety? All of the above? None of the above. She gave her whole life because she had no other options. She gave her whole life because that's what was expected of her. She gave her whole life because her life literally depended on her giving what she had. She acted out of assumptions, assertions, and assessments that put her in that moment and in that time and determined what she had to do. There was no other choice. She had no other option. It was the system that forced her to give what she had, and the people in the crowd noticed, but more importantly, Jesus noticed. And Jesus brings attention to her sacrifice, not because she gave her all, but because Jesus sees his own life and the widow's life in that moment. Because Jesus will have to give his life, his entire life. In fact, at this point, he already really has. He embraces rejection, he accepts the questioning of his followers, and he confirms over and over again that following him means life-giving and whole life living as well. So in a way, we can also say that it was the system that forced Jesus to make his sacrifice of his life as well, though in the end, he does so freely. The widow was obligated to make her sacrifice, and Jesus willingly gave his life, and somewhere in between those two are the group of people that we honor today. And especially on this Veterans Day, we mark the Armistice Day, we honor that group of people who serve out of a sense of duty and honor and country. And of course, I am talking about veterans. Something that I heard when I first came into the Army is a veteran is someone who at one point in their life wrote a blank check payable to the United States of America for an amount up to and including their life. There's a sacrifice. So when people figure out what it is that I do for a living, whether or not I'm in uniform, though I do spend more time in uniform than not, and the crosses that are on every one of my uniforms kind of gives it away, there are inevitably questions that come up, because people are curious about chaplains, and they often ask those questions. Even before I was a chaplain, when I was standing before the Nashville Presbytery for my ordination exam, half the questions they asked me involved going into the military. Why do you serve? Why do you want to be a chaplain? What exactly were you thinking when you did this? The answers to these questions are both really easy and really hard at the same time. I serve because this is where God has called me to be. Piper says every week in the benediction, wherever God has put you, wherever you are, God has put you there. There we go. And wherever you are going, God is sending you. I've never felt called to pastor a church, even though I serve in a pastor-like role. I like being out and about. I like to embrace the suck with the soldiers. I like to share the honor of preaching and leading worship from the hood of a Humvee, and even embrace the joy that is called an MRE as well. Serving as an Army chaplain fits my gifts and my talents very well. And once that idea was planted in my head, there was no way that it was ever going to get out of there. Isaiah says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" Not entirely certain of what it was that I was getting into when I answered that question. That is the easy answer. The hard answer is, I really don't know why I serve. I'm one of the people who walk in darkness alongside soldiers as they search for the light, oftentimes absorbing their darkness. I'm one of those people that sit down and listen to the horror that others have experienced so they can heal, even if it means that I get to pick up some trauma along the way. I'm one of those people whose jobs is desperately needed but is so often overlooked because all of the work that I do is actually in the background. I'm one of those people who doesn't balance my own family and life quite so well in service to my God and my country. But despite all of this, there is nothing that I would rather do because I have the privilege of serving God and country and soldiers. The scars, the trauma, the bruises, and even the darkness are a small price to pay for the privilege to serve God and country, because there are those who have given so much more. I said I wasn't going to cry. I'm not going to. When I meet a soldier for the first time, I often ask why they joined the Army, besides the obvious reason that it is the best branch in the military. I think he's hiding. I was going to say, go Army, beat Navy. The answers often include... The answers that soldiers give me back often include things like, it's a family tradition that goes back for generations. They wanted to be in the Army since they were little. And even, it's the right thing to do. Among all those answers, even if they don't see it or clothe it in the same theological language that I might, it's a calling to service by God. Serving your country in the military is being part of something that is greater than you are. For a brief period of time, whether it's 3 years, 10 years, or 20 years, you have the privilege to add to the legacy of something that will continue after you are long gone. And most of my soldiers say that if given the chance, they would do it again. They would do it again despite the sacrifices that we make. I know some who have lost battle buddies during deployments. I know some who have lost battle buddies in garrison. Some have lost their marriages. All have missed anniversaries and birthdays and holidays. Some have missed opportunities. Some carry visible wounds, while many carry invisible ones as well. And this is the price of service sometimes. And on this Veterans Day, that is what... she was up there. The widow and her mites teach us. She knows what it means to give those mites to the temple. She knows the sacrifice she is making, and she makes it anyway because she has no choice. She is stuck in the system. But soldiers and Marines and sailors and airmen and coasties know the sacrifice of service as well. And like the widow, they and I do it anyway, not because we're stuck, not because we're obligated, because we do it out of a deep sense of calling, because we do it out of love. And I realize that even with selfless service, like so many other veterans who have served, I experience my own conflict with what I've heard and seen and experienced. And sometimes it makes me want to scream at those people at the airport that want to come up and thank me. But then I stop and remember that there are parades, and there are children, and there are waving flags, and yes, there's even old men in their tight uniforms proudly marching down the street, and that maybe I shouldn't take myself quite so seriously, and maybe I ought to forget about those conflicts that are so natural to being human, and maybe I, alongside other veterans, simply ought to bask in those cheers and thanks of others, if for no other reason than for those who didn't get to come home to thanks and cheers. And maybe the uniform that we wear, whether it's my daily one or even this one, reminds people that the sacrifices that we make every day aren't for ourselves and probably aren't for anybody really, but for reasons that we truly will never know. Because maybe they are saying with the widow and a gentle whisper from the Holy Spirit, thank you for reminding us that despite the hardship and the confusion of life, there are some truths that are truly worth fighting for and dying for in the name of love. Amen.
So, Tim has just shared very powerfully with you about the widow. Oh, I moved her face away. The widow who, out of her poverty, gave everything she had. And what we do today, and you heard from Tim, is we honor ordinary men and women who somehow made a sacrifice. The word sacrifice, I guess we're getting a lot of definitions today. The word sacrifice in Latin means to take something sacred and make it of value, to offer it as an act of devotion. So the widow's life, it wasn't so much the coins, like Tim said, they were less than, I think they're less than a, they're like 1/64th. One of those coins at that time was 1/64th of a wage for a day laborer, right? So it wasn't even worth the metal that it was made out of. And yet the widow put in everything she had and offered her life as an act of devotion. So her life itself was her treasury and her sacrifice. And in that way, she foreshadowed Jesus Christ. She becomes a model of discipleship. And I think what we do on Veterans Day is we look at men and women like Tim. And so many veterans in our own lives, our ancestors, our grandfathers, our fathers, our sons, our brothers, our sisters. And we look at them also as models of discipleship. Are they broken? Yes. And the darkness that walks in each of us, is it more visible in some than in others? Absolutely. But yet people give. Jesus says in John 15, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. If we remember anything on Veterans Day, let us remember that. Alleluia. Amen. And let us pray. God of all nations, you are our strength and our shield. We give you thanks today for the devotion and courage of all those who have offered military service for our country and for every nation, for their families, for their friends, for all who care for them. We ask today that you would lift up by your Spirit those who are now at war, that you would encourage and heal those in hospitals or those mending their wounds at home, that you would guard those in any need or trouble, and that you would hold safely in your hands all military families, that you might bring the returning troops to joyful reunion and peaceful life at home. Give to us who are your people grateful hearts and a united will to honor these men and women and to hold them always in our love and our prayers. Until our world is perfected in peace and all wars cease. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen.